Hey, welcome to How to Write a Novel. So I'm at this weird Airbnb in Toronto, where Toronto is one of the most expensive cities. I think it is the most expensive city I've ever Airbnb'd in, besides Amsterdam. And Amsterdam is kind of significantly more expensive, but Toronto's a little rough. You know, fucking Vancouver, especially Montreal, even Tokyo, you know, you can find ways for it not to be so expensive. If you know you're willing to live far away or go to a weird neighborhood or something. Toronto, not so much, except this time, while I'm scrolling through shit, I found this place that was crazy cheap. Like less than $500 a month, which is so good for Toronto. For Toronto, if you can hit like 700, you're doing well. It's usually like 800 at least. So I was like, holy shit, thank you very much. Give me the whole 3 months that I'm going to be here. It's just like, hook me up, pal. But to be fair, I didn't read the listing as closely as I should have. But the guy who runs this place, he runs a whole bunch of places in Toronto. He definitely misrepresented the place. He did make it seem like it was a private room, when if you read the fine print, it's not. But the way the pictures are, the way the page is set up, it really seems like it's a small room, but a room. And come to find out, it is so packed in. It feels like I'm in a submarine or something. Where there's my bed, there's a divider, there's another bed, and a divider, and bunk beds. So it's this little condo that's got so many people. So in my room, there's me. Next to me, there was a girl from Russia, but she left recently. There's a girl from Israel and a dude from Mexico. And I think the rest of the house, everybody's from India. There's another room that's also like four beds, I think. It might only be three, I'm not sure. And then downstairs, there's like a kitchen and a sort of common area. So the common area is also split into a bed for the guy who kind of runs the place, who's older than me, which makes me feel a little better, because like all this stuff, it does just seem like it's more natural when you're 20 years old to do this shit. But the guy who runs the place, his name's Passat, he's like 54. So I'm like, fuck it. And then there's bunk beds down there too. It is so packed. And the thing is, I really don't mind. It's a little weird at first. I was like a little nervous, like, oh, I probably wouldn't have booked this if I really realized what I was getting myself into. And there's already been one person since I've stayed there who came in, they showed him the bed, and he's like, whoa, wait a minute, what? It's not a room? And he didn't stay, he fucking took off. So it's not just me. This place is definitely set up in a slightly deceptive way, which I think is a little weird. Like, now that I'm there and I'm settled in, it's actually kind of cool. Like, I'm glad that this option is here to be able to stay in Toronto for, like, I don't know what it is, $16 a day or something. It's so cheap. It's fucking awesome. And now that I've gotten kind of used to it, it's like, yeah, it's not that big a deal. Although, on the other hand, if the guy was more forthright about it, maybe I wouldn't have booked it. Like, maybe this works better for him, you know? It's like slightly slumlordy behavior where he's like, let's just semi-trick people into it. And then once they're there, the vast majority will probably just go with it. But yeah, it's weird because it's not so bad now that I'm there. It's kind of nice in a way. I mean, there's a lot of energy in that house. You know, the downside is the bathroom in the morning. You can fucking forget about it. There's only one bathroom for like 10 people. That's probably what gets me the worst. Because I'm a man who needs to pee a lot. So that can be a little difficult. But yeah, it definitely does have that energy feeling. But at the same time, I only know the main guy, Passat. I only know his name because he's the guy that runs the place. Even though I've been there a little while now, like especially the girl from Israel and the dude from Mexico. I mean, I see them like every day. But I don't know their names and I haven't asked, you know, we're kind of cordial. Say good morning, say see you later, that type of shit. Part of it's just my weird personality that it's not in my nature to just make friends with people like that. I don't know, I feel like once I know somebody's name, then you kind of feel like if you bump into them, you kind of got to talk to them. And you got to hear about their fucking problems. I mean, that's just where my mind goes. But I think it's almost kind of better this way. Because we're so close and we're so under each other's, you know, under each other's heels. That I think it's kind of better to just act like a ghost. You know, it's not just me. It seems like most people are kind of this way. Of like, unless they already knew each other from before. You know, it's like, let's just try to stay out of each other's way as much as we can. So that this isn't any more awkward than it needs to be. Because, yeah, I mean, I stayed at like a hostel in Japan, but I mean, it was like way more private than this. Like, it was like a little box. It was like a little treehouse thing that I went in. Had my own little enclosed box. Here, I don't have that. But yeah, any of this stuff, it's good to just kind of stretch your comfort level. And just kind of stretch your idea of what's okay. I mean, there's a lot of doomsayers in fucking North America. A lot of like, oh no, the world's falling apart and things are getting bad and blah, blah, blah. But everybody here lives like so far beyond what they need, you know, like way beyond. And this is just another example of that. Of like, if you did have to live in a fucking apartment with 10 people in a place that normally would be like 2 people, you know, you can do it. It's fine. It's not a big deal. Not a biggie. Things could get so much worse before they were legitimately worse. Even just quick tangent. Just how our society really is set up for new stuff. It's so easy to get new stuff, and it's so hard to pass along old stuff. Like when I first decided I was going to be a weird book bag dweller in like 2015, I think it was. I still didn't have a lot of stuff, but it took me like 2 months to get rid of all my stuff without throwing it away. You know, I just didn't want to throw stuff away. I wanted to donate it or pass it forward to somewhere, and it was not easy to do. And yeah, just recently, like my friend Ray that I do my movie podcast with, The Prison Wallet's available at keithcourage.com. He just got a new iPhone and he's just trying to get rid of the old one. And he's like, sure you don't want it? I mean, it's still pretty new, expensive ass iPhone, but I got Android. I don't know. I got all my shit set up for like Android shit. But he's like, man, what do I do with this? And I was like, you know, there's a program at the library. You can donate a phone and they give them to like blind people. Set them up with some blind people apps. But yeah, I don't know. It's just like, it's not easy to just... We're not geared toward using secondhand stuff, and we're not geared toward repairing things and keeping things a long time. I know you don't need me to tell you fucking how to live your goddamn life. I'm just saying it's how it is. It's like, it's so easy to get new shit. If you want something new in North America, it couldn't be easier. You want to figure out what to do with your old shit, it couldn't be harder. Anyway, and I feel like this kind of ties into that, is like, yeah, we're all way beyond our means. And this is like a nice little test. I mean, like, because I was ranting about this a lot when I was in Amsterdam, too, of just like public spaces, you know, of like how much space do you really need for yourself? Like at this point, I literally have the corner of a room. But that's all I need. And, you know, I just spend the day out in the world doing shit. But the point I kind of want to get to is this has tested my doing stuff out in the world a little bit. Because I guess I could hang out in that apartment, but I mean, I generally don't hang out at home that much anyway. I like to go out in the city and do stuff. But this was really pushing it extra, like where normally if it became like, you know, 8, 9 at night, I might go home. At this place, I way prefer to kind of shift since I'm not going to school, I don't have a job. The other people that are staying mostly have much more of a schedule than me. So if I put myself off kilter to their schedule a little, it just helps. It's so we're not, you know, bumping into each other at the same time. So if I don't come home until like midnight or 1 a.m, everybody's already asleep. It's great. I can just creep in and, you know, I'm not bothering anybody. And then if I sleep in a little in the morning, a lot of people have already gotten up and done their stuff and they're out for the day. But that's been, I was feeling that a little bit of that pressure of that extra 3 or 4 hours a day that I stay outside. it's starting to get to me a little, because it's like the opposite of stir craziness. It's like the reverse of that. It's like, I want to get out of this outdoorsness. I want to get out of this public area. And a lot of that is that I'm staying way out by the zoo, way out in Scarborough, like I was complaining about fucking last episode. And it's not a bad neighborhood. I really don't mind it. But it's the suburbs, you know? It's car culture. It's not made for a pedestrian to hang out in, you know? There's the little bursts of coffee shops and places you can go, and then long stretches of just residential areas where there's nothing. And at night, most stuff closes. It's not, if I was just in downtown Toronto, this staying out all the time shit would be a lot easier to do. So as soon as the month rolled over, I decided to buy a monthly transit pass, which I've never bought before in Toronto, because it's so expensive. It's, after taxes and shit, it's $150 for an unlimited monthly transit pass in Toronto, which is like so much more than other places. Montreal, I think it's like $80. Vancouver, it's like $90. And part of that is because those cities are kind of split up into zones. So you just get the one zone, you know, that you're going to be in. And then if you do drift outside of the zone, then you just pay a little additional fee when that happens. Toronto, you got to pay for the whole kit and caboodle. So it's very expensive. So I've never done it before. But it's pretty great. Like, I'm glad that I pulled the trigger on it, and I'm going to have to do it for the rest of the time that I'm here as well, I think. But the freedom of getting on and off transit, it's a way different feeling than just putting money on transit and but still having to pay for each ride. Like, now that I put down the 150 and it's like, fuck it, as long as I use it twice a day, it, you know, works out that it's not a bad deal. But I can use it way more than twice a day. I can just get off and get on wherever, which you just really can't do without the monthly pass, because it just that feeling in my head of like, wow, I just to, like, okay, so for example, if you're looking for woods in Toronto, hard to find, but if you go to Warden Station, you can walk this nature trail between Warden and Victoria Park. It's beautiful. It's pretty short, but it's really nice. So with the pass, I can just go to Warden Station. They got a little coffee shop in the station. Buy a coffee, walk that path, get back on at the next station. But if I was paying money, like if that cost me an extra $3, I mean, yeah, $3 is not that big a deal, but I just wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't, you know? They might have time transfers here now. I'm not sure. They never used to. Toronto's fucked up. But since like, until like 2 years ago, they were still just using paper transfers. A fucking transit cop one night on the Queen Street car, I was all drunk coming home, but I wasn't making a transfer. It was just a straight ride. So when the fucking bus driver was like, here's your paper transfer, I was like, oh, I'm good, man. I don't need it, you know, because fucking I'm not transferring. These transit cops got on and started giving me a hard time because I couldn't prove I had paid for the streetcar because I didn't have my piece of paper. In 2017, I didn't have a little piece of paper. And it turns out they were just being dicks because the fucking, the bus driver guy, as soon as they got on, he mentioned, he's like, oh, that guy back there, he paid, he didn't get his little piece of paper. But they still just gave me it's like, fucking, there's nothing sadder than a transit cop, you know? I mean, I think it's the same mentality as being a real cop of like, you know, you probably don't get into that job if you don't want to exert some control over people. But at least a real cop handles real shit, fucking transit cops. Anyway, the point is, I really like having this pass because, yeah, it's like gets me out of this neighborhood. I can just go to wherever, just go somewhere else for the day. But even if I don't really go anywhere in particular, I can just ride the subway and ride the buses, you know? And it's like, it's kind of all right. Like if it's bad weather out and you, or you just need somewhere to sit, you just need somewhere to sit and do some work and you're just tired of paying for coffees, can't have another coffee in the day, you can just sit on the subway, you know, just ride the subway. Today I just rode the subway out to like the airport and just back. No reason, just because there's a Taco Bell out there. I was like, fuck it, I'll go to the Taco Bell that's at Kipling. Fuck it. And I really kind of like that downtime. I don't like pull out my laptop on the subway. I save that for coffee shops and libraries and stuff. But on the subway, you can still do all the, you know, the famous writing on a smartphone I'm always talking about, or I got a bunch of comic books, fucking Initial D. I got 48 volumes of Initial D now that I've been to the mountains of Japan. It makes that comic extra awesome because I'm like, yeah, I recognize this shit. And I kind of like it so much that the guy, like I said, this guy runs a bunch of different properties. And he had an opening. He's like, hey, since you're staying with me for like 3 months and this one is far away, you know, it's like almost as far as you can go in Toronto, I might have an opening at a way closer place, like in just like by Yonge Street, like a real place, you know? And I think he thought I'd be more excited. He's like, hey, it's no extra charge. You can move to this place. And I couldn't say no, because it's a way better location, but I kind of messaged him back like, yeah, you know, if it works out, that's cool, I'll take it, but I really don't mind. I kind of don't care where I'm at. It's fine. And he never really got back to me on that, and I think it's because he's like, well, fuck it. If you don't really want it, if you're not willing to act excited about it, then fuck you. But I kind of didn't want it, because now that I got that little pass, like, I like the traveling. I just like the feeling of it. I just like the feeling of moving. I like the feeling of going somewhere, even though I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going there to fucking hang out for an hour and then to come back. I just don't know how you stay home all day. I would go fucking crazy. I would just like it's, I mean, because I'm kind of doing the same shit, you know? I'm like doing the same shit I would do at home. I'm just watching a fucking TV show on my fucking phone or reading a book or doing some writing or whatever. But just that feeling of like, yeah, you're going somewhere. There's people around. There's things happening. I don't know. I like it. I like it. But kind of what I wanted to bring up this episode. First off, something I meant to bring up last time, but I kind of forgot. But I was talking about how slow things have been going with this book. And I was thinking, like, one of the upsides is, now that I've slowly, as I've chronicled on this show, like, that I slowly leveled up to now I'm at the point where I'm working on, I added an extra thing now that I'm working on each day. I work on my novel, I work on my novelette, I work on this little text game I'm working on, and I've added movie script. I had this movie script idea that I'm also slowly working on. And I guess, like, I've been doubting this main novel because it's going so slow. It's going so slow, and there's still quite a long ways to go. I got the book split into, it used to be four parts, now it's five. And I'm at the start of part four, but there's a lot to go. It's like the computer system on the space station. Refer back to the previous 100 episodes for details. You know, it's like this aware, semi-organic computer system on this space station, and it's basically going to jump ship from these people that it has worked alongside for generations and generations. It's tired of them, and now that this new, our protagonist has entered the scene, and it's this new thing, this new philosophy, this new idea that is way more exciting, so this thing's, it's jumping ship. It's like, I don't want to serve those people anymore. I want to serve you. Let's do some crazy shit. She hasn't even met this thing yet, you know? Like, it's about to happen. But all that stuff hasn't even started yet. Like, there's still a long ways to go on this book. Or at least it feels like it. I mean, maybe there's not. It's probably like 20% left to go. But it sure feels long. I guess because it's the great unknown. I don't quite know how all this shit's going to go. And it really is going slow. But I was thinking that underpass. Can you hear it? Do I sound the same? Oh, there. You can hear the echo a little bit. So I was thinking, even if, I mean, who knows, right? I mean, it's taking me so long to write this novel, and who the fuck knows? But maybe, now that I've, like, started working on multiple things, like, maybe this novel, worst case scenario, I mean, I'm gonna finish it. This is gonna happen. But if it's just trash, and it's just garbage, and it really doesn't work out, and these worries that it's a piece of shit turn out to be true, maybe this novel is just the agony aunt, you know? Maybe this thing is just the fucking voodoo doll. Maybe this novel is just taking all of the pressure and taking all of the pain and taking all of the worry, and it's all getting focused on this novel. And then just by accident, just on the side, I'm working on this other story and this other story and just taking a shitload of notes for other miscellaneous stories. It's like that Zen thing, you know? It's not the thing you're focused on. Or, you know, life is what happens when you're making other plans. Any of those types of sayings. Like, maybe all this worry and focus on this novel, maybe it will fail. It'll just be done and it's this piece of shit that nobody likes. But then by accident, just on the side, these side projects that I wasn't worrying about and I wasn't stressing about and I wasn't putting a lot of pressure on, like, maybe that's the real deal. Maybe that's the real point. Maybe one of those is the thing. And I just think that's a good way to kind of look at things, you know, not to put too much pressure on the actual thing you're doing. Just think of it as a stepping stone to something else, you know? It's like, yeah, maybe this novel won't work out, but while I was working on the novel, I was also working on all this other stuff, and maybe one of those is going to work out. I mean, this podcast is a good example. Fuck this podcast. Who gives a shit, you know? This is just happening on the side while I work on the novel, but maybe this podcast will end up being something cool. Probably not. That's a bad example, I guess, because if the novels and the writing don't go anywhere, it seems unlikely that... Well, whatever. So that's a little thought that I had, but also, it's like, I know this has come up before, I've talked about this before, but it's just kind of reminded me of, I mean, first off, that going slow really is just how it has to be. It's just how it works best for me. I don't feel like I write good stuff if I don't go slow. But also just how it really is difficult to go slow. Like another one of those counterintuitive ideas where, like, I'm going so slow and it's just creeping along that I'm starting to feel, yeah, I'm just feeling self-conscious about it. I'm like, I mean, I guess I just said this last episode, but yeah, just should it be this slow? God damn, this is really slow. But I just had a little reminder today while I was riding the subways, just riding around the city, going nowhere, is I wrote just the littlest bit on the novel, just this tiny little bit, this little tiny bit, wrote some rough notes for tomorrow of like, okay, I think this is what's gonna happen next. Just kind of felt a little unsure about this next step, so I'm like, I guess I gotta stop for today. I guess that's as far as it's gonna go. And then hours later, you know, I'm riding the train and I started feeling this antsiness. I was reading Initial D and I'm just like I kind of want to write. Started thinking like, ah, it's going to be great to get back to that tomorrow. Just something in me just feeling a little charged up. And I'm like, well, fuck that. If I'm feeling it, I'm feeling it. Let's put away my comics and write a little more. And I wrote this other little thing. And like, this is going to sound so dumb because it's the smallest little thing. Is I just need a tipping point. I just need to illustrate that this chick has had enough of being on this space station. She just can't take it anymore. So I've got her at the little food dispenser machine and she just gets some food out and she's just like, just fucking with it. Just like, what is this shit? I don't know. Pouring it on the ground. Like just doing weird shit that she never did before. And just thinking about how she didn't eat the day before and she's like, fuck it, I'm not gonna eat today either. I'm not motivated. I don't care. Like, maybe I won't eat tomorrow either. Like, why don't I... Maybe that's what I can do on this space station. Maybe that's what I can get out of this wasted time in my life. Is, like, I've never tried to see how long I can go without eating. I could do it here. Fuck it. Let's see if I can go 2 weeks, you know? Like, if I pass out, these fucking space station people will look after me. And she's just gonna kind of hit a little breaking point in her mind where she realizes how weird this stuff is that she's doing. She's not eating, you know, like she can't even motivate herself to eat food. Like she's got to get out of there. You know, this is going to go press her to go insist. Like, you guys got to let me out of here. I can't do this anymore. I'm losing my fucking mind. And the little thing I came up with is the stupidest little thing, but it's just like, so she poured some of the food on the ground. And then I just had like her get another random food item out of this dispenser. And just kick it, just boom, give it a big punt, and it just pow, breaks open, and the food sprays everywhere. And that's such a little thing, but it's just the right little beat, it's the right little moment that feels right to me of like, what, how do I get her from fucking around with the food to charged up enough to go bust her way into some meeting and just be like, let me out of here. What do you know? I'm not going to book an appointment. I'm losing my shit here. And that's it. Just that extra little moment of just kicking the food like it's a fucking football. It sounds so little, and it is so little, but It's again that thing I've said before, just repeating myself. That's all I do in this podcast, repeat myself over and over. But there is no grid you can follow. There's no preset blueprint. There's no plan you can follow with writing. There's only what you feel. You're the only arbiter. You're the only one who can know what is the right move and what's not, what feels right and what doesn't. And to me, that was it. That's that little, that just that little moment is like, yeah, that's the one. That's the one that feels right. That gets me from here to there without feeling like I skipped a step. And it, like, legitimately, truly is a tiny little thing, but that's all this book is. That's all any book is it's a fucking zillion tiny little things. You just want every little step to be your proper next step, you know, not to be rote, not to be cliche, not to be boring. Just what's the next step that you need for your story, you know? And again, like I've said a million times before, is like, I'm glad I didn't push. I'm glad I didn't try to make myself go faster. I got that little guilty thing in the back of my head that's a little guilty that I'm going so slow and is worried about how slow it's going and is like, are you fucking up? Are you failing? Why is this going so slow? And it's that little reminder that I'm not failing. I'm doing the right thing to get the book I want and the story I want. This is the speed it's got to go. This is the part we're at in the story. This is the place I'm at mentally about this. This is hard now. This is hard mode all the way to the end. It's gonna go slow. It should go slow. And it will go slow. And I just gotta be comfortable with that. And it's so difficult. It's hard to feel comfortable with it. It's hard to continuously remind myself that this is okay, that this is the process that has gotten us this far, that this is what's going to work. Not just to get me to the end of some shitty book, but to get me to the end of the right book, the book I want, that I'm trying to make, the book that I like, that I want. And yeah, it's just like, I mean, in a way, it's like doing a slow push-up instead of a fast one, you know? The slow, controlled movement, it's hard. It's harder. Takes discipline. Here's just a little addendum. It's a couple of days, two or three days later, after this episode, and a similar pattern keeps happening where it's like just, you know, not getting very much done on the old novel. It almost feels like I'm squeezing it in, you know? I'm going through the day and I'm just like, all right, I'll fucking work on this little podcast and do this other little thing and work on this, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, at the end of the day, I squeeze in a bit about the novel. And it feels weird because it's like, isn't this what I'm supposed to... Isn't the novel the thing? I shouldn't be squeezing in the novel. But the same thing keeps happening that, you know, I'm just like coming up with cool stuff that I wouldn't have come up with if I rushed forward. So like, this is all just, it's such a dumb little example, but this thing of my main character just messing with the food machine on this station. Because the idea is I just want a scene of kind of like, in a way it's a breaking point. It's like, I gotta go talk to the administration here and just be like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta get out of here. But I don't want it to be a big dramatic thing. It's more just like the wind is out of the sails so much that it's not even a big thing. It's just a small little moment of just like, ugh, like I just don't want to do this anymore. So yeah, I had her at the food machine and she doesn't feel like eating and she's kind of playing with the food and then she kicks one like a football, like I said. So then I added to that, she gets another little food container out and she starts tossing it up in the air. And a couple summers ago, it was just a little game I made up for myself because it was like a heat wave and I was walking around at night all the time. So I got a water bottle and I just like tossed the water bottle up in the air. And the idea was to toss it and catch it 9 times. And on the 10th throw, I would throw it as high as I could and see if I could catch it. And it's just a fun, dumb thing to do. As you drink the water from the water bottle, it changes, you know, how the fucking physics of the water bottle works. Simplest game in the world, but it's just fun. So I kind of took some of that. Like, she starts tossing this thing as high as she can in the air until she inevitably doesn't catch it and it splatters everywhere. And then after that, I had her just start kicking the machine, like try to
see if she could activate it by kicking the screen, which doesn't work. And then she's like just kicking it in general, and it's not even denting. She's like, man, like, I'm gonna destroy myself before I destroy this dumb machine. And then just last night, I was just at a bar waiting for one of my friends to show up, and I was like, all right, here we go, squeeze in my little bit on the novel. And I just had this sudden, it's like this awesome thing that just came out of nowhere where I'm like, all right, she's at this food machine. She's fucking with the food. You know, it's like, okay, I've gone as far as I can with that. But I just had this flash of like, I guess it's just because my mind was flashing back to like places I had just been in Japan, or even just places in Vancouver where now I'm back in Toronto, just these little images of neighborhoods I was in and places I was in. And I was like, oh yeah, those were cool. And then I had the idea that she could have a flash like that, of a flash back to her hometown on her home planet, which is, of course, gone now, because this story's all about being an orphan after your planet blows up. And I just had this idea of, like, I didn't describe her planet very much, because I never overly describe fucking anything, but it's like, you know, basically Mars, or like the Utah flats or whatever, you know? It's like red, it's dusty, it's rocky, it's barren, roughly. And I just had this idea that there could be this ridge near her city where, you know, you can just like oversee the whole city. You can just, because it's not that big. She's kind of from the sticks, so you can see the whole thing. And I just came up with like little like lore things, little details that I didn't know of, like, obviously, if this ridge is this beautiful view and it's not that far away and it's not that hard to get to, you're not going to be there by yourself. It's like busy, and she doesn't like that. She remembers how she doesn't like the fact that it's busy, but she still went there a lot because it's just so beautiful and so awesome. And then what would you do when you're up there? You know, you could climb down the side of the cliff. That'd be exciting for them. Or you could hang glide. Like, I saw somebody do that in Vancouver when you go up Grouse Mountain. Up the Grouse Grind. This dude just ran. He just ran and jumped off the side of the mountain and just went like, woo! With a hang glider and just, whew, and I just watched him hang glide away into the distance out to Vancouver. And it's like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, especially because I'm scared of heights. It's like, can you imagine that? I bet it would be amazing though. Like, it's one of those things that I will never do, but I kind of wish I had the balls to do it. Of just, you know, where you step out over the edge of a fucking cliff face and then the wind catches you and you fly away, but if something went wrong, you would just die. I mean, if something went wrong on the way, you would die. It's crazy. It's crazy shit that people do. It's just nuts. But yeah, just watching him sail away, I thought of that and I was like, she could do that. And maybe she misses that. Like, that's a common thing that they did, is they jumped off this cliff and hang glowed back to the town. But also, since you can see the whole town, I had the idea that anywhere she moved a lot while she was in this city, but she would always come up to this cliff and find her house. She could always find it, you know, like, oh, it's over there. It's between those two things. So then when she did the hang gliding, like, her and her friends, that they had this thing they would do where they would try to hang glide to their house. Like, that was the game. And it was bizarre because you're hang gliding right into an urban center, you know, right into a city. Obviously chaotic and weird, and you're going to crash into shit and you're going to miss and you're going to fuck up stuff. But it's just kind of understood that that's what people did. And it's just kind of accepted because she's from this bizarre, weird race of people. But then she also has the thought that, like, the memory that, like, yeah, when people came to visit her town, they did comment on that. They thought it was weird that these fucking weird teenagers are hang gliding straight into downtown and just like trying to land on houses and just doing this crazy shit, and just that it was weird that it was just accepted because that's not normal. And she kind of has that little moment of thinking, like, because she was told earlier in the story by her alien liaison who studies, you know, other species, that she was basically not from one of the big places. Like, maybe her idea of her culture isn't right, because she's from the boonies, you know, she's from the outskirts. Her ideas are kind of like, you know, they're isolated and weird. They're not necessarily what her culture really thought as a whole. But she doesn't know that. She thinks she's normal, but she's a fucking redneck, you know? Then she thinks of that and she's like, yeah, maybe we were. Maybe I did come from a weird place where we just did weird shit, you know? It's like my cousins that live kind of outside of the city limits would just jump off this one bridge into, it was a really long fall too, into this river. And like, that's what country kids do. That's not what the city kids do. There's no fucking way I would jump off a bridge into the water. But you just get an hour outside of town and people are doing all kinds of crazy shit. So she just has that memory. She has that little thought. So I came up with all that neat stuff about her culture and about her city that I didn't have before. And then she just thinks like, man, I just wish I could be there. Just for a little bit, I wish I could be there. You know, it would take so much of the pressure off of this situation if I could just be there for a little bit. But of course she can't, and she can never be back there again. And that's the catalyst, you know? All this, like, fucking with the food machine shit was just to get to this weird thought that hits her. And she's like, I gotta get out of here. It doesn't matter. I know I can't go back there, but I can't stay here anymore. I can't. I gotta go insist. I gotta go stir up some shit because this is insane. I gotta get out of here. So again, just the same thing I just said, same thing I've said a few times, it's just that it keeps happening. This example keeps happening. Like, I keep feeling like I should be working harder. I keep feeling a little bit of self-flagellation of like, why are you going so slow? This can't be right. This can't be what a writer does. This can't be. You gotta be fucking this up. You're going so slow. But at the same time, I keep thinking of that other path in the woods of like, what if I pushed myself to go faster? What if I pushed myself to go harder? I wouldn't have this scene. I wouldn't have this little weird memory. This fucking Marcel Proust shit remembering her fucking, you know, like, I wouldn't have that. And if I don't have those things, if I don't have those moments, then what the fuck is this story, you know? That's the point of this story, is to get to those little moments, those weird little thoughts, those weird little pieces of life, you know, that only I can do, that aren't just normal and, you know, rote. So yeah, just, again, I'm just repeating the exact same thing I just said, but just that it keeps happening. Like, it just keeps compounding, you know? It's been a couple of days and it's still happening. And like, it's just weird. Like, maybe this is it. This is just like, I was definitely going faster before, but now I'm in this home stretch of this book. And I feel like this last maybe fifth of the book, quarter of the book, I'm not sure how much there is to go. I mean, who knows, man? This might take as long as all the rest took together, you know? And it's a bummer. I wish I could just get to the end. It's like, fuck, another, what is it going to be, another year just to creep through this? And maybe it is. But I think it just has to be this way. I think it is working. It's just so fucking slow. It's like crazy slow. It's driving me nuts, but I'm working on other stuff at the same time. You know, it's just like, and I think that's just how it is. I think this is just how I write. I think this is just how it's going to be. Hello, it's another 2 or 3 days later. It is windy as shit tonight, but I'm in a little suburban enclave, so I think this will be okay. But I just wanted to add one more little piece to this fucking weird, dumb episode. Because, yeah, the same thing happened again, so it's 2 or 3 days later. And still, I've just been, I don't know, did I describe this? But just basically because I'm going a little stir-crazy in Toronto. It's like weird to go stir crazy in a whole city. But like I was saying, you know, it's a city I come to because I like people that live here, but the city itself, it just, I bought a transit pass, you know, just to fucking travel around more, but there is kind of nowhere to go. Like I kind of just ride the transit around in a loop as though I'm leaving, you know? Take a ride out toward the airport, just to ride back, just to feel like I'm moving. And, you know, while I'm doing that, I'm reading comics on my phone, or reading a book, or writing, or, you know, just doing whatever. I'm doing the same shit people do at home. I just do it in transit, you know? But I've still been getting just so little writing done, and just, it doesn't matter how many times I tell this to myself, it's still just like, how can this be right? How can this be the right thing to do? How is it that, you know, I've been traveling around all day and it's only now that it's like late? Because I must have said this, but that I try to get home late because I'm super packed in this little Airbnb and it's just more comfortable.
to get back after everyone's already asleep and then just go in, because there's like four people in the one room, just go into the fucking corner and pass out. And I just, you know, it just feels less awkward to me. Because, yeah, people are such homebodies that even in this place that is jam-packed full of people, they, like, stake out their little corner and they just stay there all day. And it's like, dude, there's a library. It's like a fucking 5-minute walk from here. I usually go to the little local mall, hang out in the food court, do some work there, go to the library, do some work there, then, you know, jump on transit, go somewhere else. But yeah, I don't know, people love staying at home. They just love it. But yeah, it's not till the end of this loop at, like, what time is it? Fucking, it's almost 11 now, but yeah, you know, at like 10 o'clock where I'm like, all right, I guess I should start heading on home. That's when I finally, like, do some writing on my novel. I'm like, this just can't be, like, the right thing to do. I'm just leaving it till the last minute. I'm squeezing it in at the end of the day. This can't be the right thing to do. But again, the same thing happened that has been happening. And this is a real good one. Instead of just these, like, vagaries about the fucking food machine. And then the one before this about the memories of her hometown. That one was better. Oh, there's the wind. That was definitely a better one. But I had a great one today. So way back, I came up with this chapter of the book. I was all excited about it. It's the fight scene chapter. And I wrote it out. And I think it was, I don't know, originally, I could check through my notes. But I mean, it was going to be like chapter 16 or something. Just because I was all excited about it. I'm like, fuck yeah. And now I'm in chapter 35. And it's like, oh, great, it's finally coming. It's got to come soon. But it just didn't fit back then. I was just excited about it. So I thought I could squeeze it in early, but it wasn't appropriate yet. But I wrote it all out. Chapter was basically done. It just was the wrong place. So I was like, all right, let's put that aside. We'll get to that later. And it was that the main character, she gets in a fight with just some locals, just some randoms, not anybody that we've met before. She just gets in a fight with these creatures on the space station. But I wanted to save it till later because I want it to be the catalyst that kind of unlocks her connection with the ship. But it was all a little bit vague, you know, because I realized that it was just going to happen later. So I'd worry about it later. But here we are. We're at later now. So all I was going to have in this chapter was after the malaise and the wishing that she was back home. And she's just going to kind of snap and just go talk to... There were these three aliens in the early part of the book before I introduce her, like, you know, the secondary character in the novel, her direct liaison guy. Before that, there was just these three bureaucrats, basically, that she dealt with. So she's going to go talk to them and just be like, you got to let me out of here. We got to figure something out. This is insane. I can't stay here anymore. And then today, when I was just on the subway... There's very limited washrooms on the subway in Toronto, not like Japan where there's like bathrooms at like almost every stop. In Toronto, you basically gotta go to the ends of the line. So I was kind of deliberately going a little further on the subway than I needed to go. So I was just gonna go take a leak and then continue my fucking epic journey circling the city. And I knew that fight scene was gonna happen very, very soon, like probably the very next chapter. And suddenly it occurred to me, like, well, hey, instead of that fight scene where she just gets in a fight with a random yokel, what if, I mean, she's pissed, right? She's not going to get what she wants from this bureaucrat. It's going to be a go-nowhere conversation. Fucking wind. Come on, buddy. Fuck. I don't know who I'm requesting. Stop the wind. God, I guess. Look, whatever. Here, I'm just going to, let me try to cover up the mic. Try to protect it. I'm going to talk right into it. So suddenly it hit me, I'm like, well, if this fight scene's gonna happen soon anyway, what if it happened right now? Who better to fight than this person? And it seemed so wacky, it was like so fucking kind of left field and out of nowhere, and just so much more severe. Getting in a random fight with a local, it's like, yeah, well, whatever. Getting in a fight with one of the prime people that kind of helps, you know, manage the whole station, significantly more backlash is going to come from that, you know? Like, she's kind of got diplomatic immunity. If she beat up a local, it's probably not even that big of a deal. But if you beat up the mayor or whatever, you can't just get away with that. And but I was like, oh fuck, like it just hit me later. I was like, wait a minute, maybe that's cool. I gotta sleep on that one. What the fuck? Let me just put that aside. And I haven't slept on it yet. That was just earlier today, but I finished my little subway ride, went to the bus depot, waiting for a bus, just reading some comic books on my fucking phone. And then halfway home on the long ass bus ride home, my brain just, it started worming its way into my brain. I just was like subconsciously thinking about it. And I'm like, fuck yeah. Like suddenly it all kind of clicked in. And I'm like, that's definitely the thing to do. That's way better. Cause it just, I mean, it ramps up the fucking severity of the situation in general. But it also like makes sense. Like if the idea of this fight, like the, my kind of thinking was like, she's made this one connection with the sentient computer that runs the station for just a second, and then it flared out and she thought it didn't work. But the reality is she did connect, but it's just ignoring her. And the idea of the fight would be, I mean, I didn't really think it through all that clearly. It was just that somehow getting in a big life-threatening fight that she almost dies in and then crawling off somewhere to just fucking sleep it off and hopefully not die, you know, would flare up her connection with the machine just due to her own internal state. But I realized this adds to that because, I mean, this the Acomulon, you might remember I talked about, I think in the third episode of this podcast, I've been talking about this thing for a long time. The Acomulon's the thing that runs the ship, and it would be aware of her fighting a local. It's aware of everything. It's aware of the whole ship. But again, it would be extra aware if somebody important to the workings of the ship gets attacked. And I just feel like that makes extra sense that this would like wake up the Acomulon of like, take a closer look at this situation, take a closer look at this foreign element that is inside the station. Because it's causing big problems now. It's fighting people that are important. Important cogs to the fucking system are getting challenged. And the idea is basically that the Acomulon is going to jump ship. It's going to choose her over them. It wants change. It wants things to be different, but it just doesn't have enough will of its own to do these things. But it can slide its power over to this new being, this new society, even though it's a society of one. And yeah, I just feel like it makes more sense. It's just a little, I mean, I don't know how much I'm going to explain any of this. I guess I'll explain some of it. But it's basically how, you know, this Acomulon thing is going to be weird to describe its communication, because it's going to be basically purely, like, feeling-based. But I think it would help sort of galvanize its feelings to show a direct conflict between one side and the other. Between the old king and the new king, you know? I don't know if this fucking makes any sense. The point is, it's like, yeah, this is the thing. This is the way to go. This is so cool. It didn't even cross my mind before. Oh, underpass. Let's just hang out in here for a second where it's less windy. But yeah, it's just yet another case that's just happening over and over and over that this one is just, it wasn't even on the fringes of my mind. I hadn't even considered this idea. And now that I have, and it just is like, yeah, cool. That's much better. That's way better. I'm going to do that. And once again, just same thing again. I just got to think of the two paths in the woods, that even though this path is so slow and feels almost negligent, just like this slow grind, this just painfully slow grind. But the other path in the woods would have been to speed along and to go with something more akin to my original plan, and it just wasn't as good. It just wasn't as good. So I'm just yet another example of trying to convince myself that I shouldn't feel guilty for how slow I am, but it's not going to work. I'm going to feel guilty again in a couple of days, you know, but it's going to pay off again. And it's just, this is just the pattern. There's no way to feel good about it, but it's okay. It's working. Anyway, all right. That felt particularly hard to describe. I mean, it's just a weird idea I just had, you know, I still got to smooth it out some. But okay, I think that's it for real for this episode. Let's fucking, even if this happens again in like 3 days, you can just assume that it will. I don't need to fucking report on every little one. So let's jump back to myself in the past, two times in the past. It's like fucking Inception. And and he will recommend a song for the end of the episode. Is that right? Let's take it back. Airplane. This is the airplane, in case you're wondering. The little beep noise I use whenever I edit in this podcast. It's the, an airplane announcement beep. I like that sound, you know, because it reminds me of airplanes and traveling and stuff. All right, here it is. Oh, I was wrong. One more update. So it's 24 hours later. I'm in the same neighborhood. It's windy again, same time of day, everything. But man, just like, yeah, one more day. And things went significantly different. I think this is worth chronicling because I think I said this on the very first episode of this podcast, but one of my favorite little writing metaphors is taking a pickaxe to a rock wall, you know? You just gotta swing the pickaxe every day. And you might swing it and just a tiny little pebble comes out of the wall. And then you swing it again the next day and a tiny little pebble comes out of the wall. And that's what's been happening, not just, you know, this last couple of weeks like I've been chronicling, but like the last few months, you know, every day I swing the fucking pickaxe and every day it's just a tiny little pebble coming out of the wall. And it was obviously starting to fucking unravel my brain because it's just been so long. I fucking circled the earth and I haven't had like a truly productive day. Not fucking one. Just every day for months and months, it's just this tiny little incremental progress, this tiny little inch forward. But what I was forgetting, not forgetting, but I thought just maybe, you know, the other half of that metaphor is sometimes you swing the pickaxe and there's a rock slide, you know? Sometimes you swing it and it's not just a little pebble, it's a big brrrah and a bunch of shit happens and you write a bunch of stuff and you make a bunch of progress. But I'm so deep into this book. I mean, this is way deeper than I've ever been into writing a novel. I wrote a very long nonfiction book, and I wrote a little kid's book, and I've written little short stories, but I mean, this is uncharted territory. This is so deep into a novel, and a very tough part of the novel, where it's like I'm trying to transition into this really abstract part of the story, where basically the paradigm shifts, you know, the balance of power shifts. It's like this character that's just been under the fucking heel of this weird space station in this weird society. Not in a violent way, just in a boring bureaucratic way. This is where she takes the reins. She gets control. The Akamulon, the fucking system that runs this ship, decides like, hey, you're my new teammate, you know? You're my new partner in crime. We're gonna do this together. Fuck this old system. Time for some new crazy shit to happen. And I've got quite a few notes for after this, for like once that new paradigm is established. But as for how it's actually gonna happen, fucking wind. I'm just gonna do the same stupid thing I did yesterday. Like I'm talking through a fucking toilet paper roll, talking through a cardboard tube. Yeah, I didn't have very specific ideas or notes about how this change was gonna happen exactly. It's just one of those things like, I'll figure it out when the time comes. And then the time came, and not only is it here, it is back to back with the other previous super hard to write chapter. It's just like, fuck this, fuck me. No wonder, though, it's been going so slow, and it's been like, this is an extremely resilient rock wall. You know, I'm swinging away, and my swings are doing nothing, just chipping, little teeny tiny chip damage. But today, the thing I was just saying about, like, how I'm going to change where this fight scene happens, and it's going to happen to this other character now. So instead of just going to argue with that character and then get in a fight next chapter, I rolled those two chapters together today. I'm like, all right, this next chapter that I was starting to lay out, that's now part of this chapter. Chapter 35 and 36 are now one big chapter 35, and that's all going pretty well. I got that sort of basically laid out. But then also, on the fucking train today, I just was like, I think I know what the next chapter is going to be. And it's weird. It's like one of those rare cases where it's like, Jesus, take the wheel. You know, it's like I barely felt like it was me doing it. I'm just sitting on the train and I just pull up my phone and I just start writing just a rough draft of like, yeah, maybe this is how the chapter after this should start. And I basically wrote in point form, just in a, as a rough outline, the whole chapter. Here's exactly what's going to happen. And I got a basic idea of what's going to happen even after this. Like, all of a sudden, instead of fighting through one chapter, I got, like, the equivalent of, like, three more chapters all figured out, all set to go. And I'm pretty sure this is, like, the runway that is going to lead me to the end game, you know? To, like, everything I need to get to the end of the book. I think it's going to be pretty smooth sailing once I get past this period. So basically, the rock slide happened, you know? The fucking chip, 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 chip. And I just thought I was going to chip for the rest of my fucking life, you know? Just chip my way to the end of this book and try not to go insane. I just thought there was no more rock slides coming because you can't predict them. You never know when it's going to happen. It just happens sometimes. And it happened today. And it's a relief. It's like, thank you. Holy fuck, that sucked. That was ridiculous. I had a very fun time traveling around all these different places I've been this summer, but writing-wise, it's been a slow disaster. It's been so slow. Oh, and the rock slide happened. So instead of this, like, oh, fuck, is it going to take me, like, another year to get through this book? Now I can see a clearer path. It's still going to be slow. It's still going to take me a long time. But it doesn't feel like I got to climb fucking Everest anymore, you know? Now it feels like how it should feel, which is that I've been climbing Everest for a year and a half, and I'm getting toward the end, where previously, as recently as 2 days ago, it was feeling like I was still at the bottom and I still had a whole fucking mountain to go. Oh. So yeah, I'll add this to my list of metaphors. I had the boat metaphor a few episodes back, and then the cow metaphor about, you know, fucking, well, whatever. Go listen to the recent episodes. They're called that. They're called the cow metaphor and the boat metaphor. And this one is the pickaxe metaphor. Oh, and it's good. It's good stuff. All right. Now let's finally rewind all the way back to the original me 4 me's ago who started this episode. So he can tell you about a song he wanted to play. All right, here we go. Bing bong. All right, I'm back at my little place. So that's enough. Because now there's people around. For song of the episode, song of the day, I found a little burn CD I made in 2002. Or I just found the files from it, you know. I like found an old MP3 CD, and I put it on a portable drive, and I just dug it up the other day, and I'm like, oh, let's listen to what I was listening to in 2002. And there's this one song by Him, His Infernal Majesty, I think that stands for. I was never super into Him, but I liked them, you know. Bam Margera was always talking about this band back in the day. This song's called Again, and it was never one of my favorite Him songs, but I think that's why it's so good now. Just something I haven't really listened to since probably 2002. So it gets that nostalgia factor, but also there's other Him songs right here in my arms and shit that I've heard like a zillion times that are technically probably better songs, but they're a little more worn out because I listen to them so much. So this song hits that perfect sweet spot of it's a really cool song and I really like it, but I also haven't heard it in forever because I didn't like it that much, you know? So yeah, who knows? Maybe it sucks. If you never heard it before, we'll see. We'll see how you like it, but I really liked it. I'm like, ah, yeah, that hits the spot. So here is Again. I would say Again, but he says Again in the song. So Again by Him. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time.